you rob me? And then, but you ask, how do we rob you? In tithes and offerings. You are under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you are robbing me. And then the verse, you know, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. And that's a, you know, a powerful verse. You know, bring the whole tithe to the storehouse so that there may be food in my house. And then in the New Testament, actually, there's very little spoken about tithing. And I'll come to that a bit later. But there is a verse that is, you know, in Matthew 23 that is often also quoted when we talk about tithing. And that is where Jesus was speaking to the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. And verse 23 says, woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You give a tenth of your spices, mint, dough, and cumin, but you have neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former. So, you know, so he's criticizing the Pharisees that they are tithing to the cent, but they are neglecting the more important matters like mercy and justice and faithfulness. So, but Jesus does say, you know, you should focus on the more important things, but he also says you shouldn't neglect a tithing. So, why is my title then, you should not tithe? You know, we have, I think if one says we should tithe, you know, has God not given us grace so that and the ability to actually tithe? You know, so, you know, most of us maybe are aware about Christians should be giving, but you get hung up about this 10%, you know. It's just, I think God knew that we can't give, all of us can give an equal amount, so he made it a percentage, you know, 10%. So maybe you're still, you know, sitting there and saying, yeah, but I, even my tithe, you know, although the scripture says, bring it to the storehouse, and the storehouse was a part of the temple, you know, so bring it to the church, you know. You say, yeah, but I think I know about needs where I can give, and I know about needs that are far more important than the church knows, maybe the church maybe doesn't know about. And actually, Jaco, a few weeks ago, said, you know, he was speaking about, you should tithe, okay, and here I'm preaching, well, you should not tithe, but he was saying, he was actually challenging someone, said, I've got my credit card here, does anybody want to go to for a meal after the church service to some place, Steers, I think it was, you can use it, but I'll come with you. And when it comes to paying, then we'll go down to the tug, because I believe the tug needs the money more than where we were fed. You know, we're getting fed here, but we put the money where it's, you know, somewhere else. So he was saying, is that sometimes the way we do it? You know, we get fed with God's word, but then we bring the tithes and offerings somewhere else. But I actually came this morning to talk about you should not tithe. Okay. So now here it goes. And please don't, you know, shout and scream and say, no, it's not true. And it's I don't believe this. Hang in there. Okay. And just see whether what I'm saying is any hands and feet, you know. Firstly, tithing was part of the law of Moses. And believers are not under the law. Okay, now, that is my first point I make. can't see that. On the computer, it always looks quite easy to see it, and then on a screen, it's not that easy always. You know, in Romans, Galatians, in many places in the New Testament, Christians are said we are no longer under the law. Not that we are lawless. You know, we're under the law of Christ. And even things from the law of Moses, which display the moral character of God, are also, you know, are repeated as commands in the New Testament. So I'm not saying there's nothing, there's no law, but actually nowhere in the New Testament is the church actually commanded to tithe. It says, you must tithe. It doesn't say it there. Okay, now, there are some that argue that Abraham, you know, that tithing was before the law was given, and therefore it is still now. You know, so you can also, circumcision was also, it became part of the law, and so tithing, but circumcision was also before the law was given, and so was keeping the Sabbath, and it's not binding on us today. You know, so, and some say, yeah, Abraham was tithing, and Jacob was tithing before the law was given. And Abraham, if you look at the two examples there, Abraham had won a battle, and he tithed a tenth of the spoils that he got, you know. So, never anywhere does it say that Abraham took tithed a tenth of his possession, or the income that he got every year, he tithed, okay, before the law was given. And Jacob, I don't know, he's not such a good example either, because his tithing was conditional on God. He said, God, I will tithe if you save me and you provide for me. Otherwise, I won't tithe. Okay. So it's maybe not the best example either. So tithing was required under the law of Moses, was part of the law, but it's actually no commandment in the New Testament. So gee, I'm feeling this. You know, so where are you going, you know? Okay, let's go to the second one. It's a bit linked to the first one. I say that tithing in the law of Moses was an involuntary tax to support Israel, and believers are not such part of such a government. So tithing in the, you know, was really like almost like we pay taxes, you know? But it was the church, the temple, the leaders of the church were the leaders of the nation. So tithing was involuntary. You had to tithe, you know, and there was actually a voluntary giving and an involuntary or a required giving. And actually, when you go into the subject of tithing, and I looked a bit of what does the Old Testament say about tithing, there's not only one tithe. There are actually a few more. And if you add them all together, those tithes, it actually comes more like 22%. Okay, you can see I'm an engineer. I go to the but if we're still under the law of tithing, then we should probably put it up to 22%. You know, not to the tithe only. So my third point. Okay, I want to get to the crux of the matter here. Third point says tithing, and I've actually mentioned it already, but I just want to go a little bit deeper into tithing. Is not mentioned as any instruction to the church, although a lot of is said about giving. There's a lot of said about giving to the poor, you know, and even in the particularly in Acts, you know, Luke speaks a lot that they sold everything they had. They divided it up so that there's no one in need. But it's surprising that nowhere is tithing mentioned as an instruction to the church. And although Jesus speaks about to the Pharisees, as we read earlier, I mean, he's talking about that. You can also say it was talking about the law that they were keeping. Okay, so it was almost before. It was certainly before the death and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And if you think about Paul, actually, you know, Paul says a lot about giving as well. And he speaks about to the Gentiles. And now the Gentiles didn't have the law. So a lot of them wouldn't have known, what does the law say? But yet he doesn't say to them, oh, the law says, you know, tithing has to carry on. And he predominantly talks to the Gentile churches and also doesn't mention it. So let's go to the fourth point where I say, tithing puts the wrong emphasis upon giving. You know, tithing emphasizes your obligation to God, okay? And the New Testament emphasis is willing, loving response to God's grace. It's not a matter of once I've paid my tithe, okay, now I've paid my dues, so to say, and now I'm okay. You know, everything has been met, where in fact there might be much more out there that needs to be met, and much more could be done. Tithing has the tendency of this legal, you know, putting this legal, we have got this legal contract with God that I pay my tenth, and then that's it, where it is a loving relationship with the Lord. So the emphasis is more here on, oh, and it's such a sensitive issue, you know, oh, which 10% is it? Before I've paid my tax or after I've paid my tax, all of those issues, you know. So, but let me go on. I've only got 6 points there. You know, the fifth point is tithing leads to a false concept of stewardship. And it's, you know, it's a little bit linked to that previous one where you say 10% belongs to God, 90% belongs to me, is my money. Where in fact, in reality, 100% belongs to God. You know, everything I have, everything I've received actually belongs to Him. So if you ask me to channel 90% into His work, will I still say, no, the law says 10%, you know. So, you know, and there are many examples of this, and the one that, you know, I've grown up in the mining industry. And there's a machine type, like Caterpillar or Komatsu or so, there's a machine type called Laterno. And the Laterno is a big loader, you know, front-end loader, we call it, you know, loads and loads onto trucks. And actually the new uranium mine there, Husab mine, they've bought Laterno front-end loaders. And engineering-wise, they are amazing, but Laterno was a man of God. You know, Laterno was, he sold his company later, but Laterno was actually, you know, somebody that said, you know, he didn't have any formal qualification, but he designed, he had over 300 patents and things, but he built these trucks and said, you know, I can load big. You know, I'm actually loading lots of money, says he, because he got a lot of money selling these things. But he says, God has got a much bigger loader than I have. And therefore, he gave 90%, and he only lived on 10%. And 10% was enough for him. You know, he didn't have to have this big car and a big house, although he was very wealthy, you know, wealthy man if he had kept the 90%. But he chose to keep the 10%. So tithing can put us in a bit of a, just in this rut, you know, that it's just 10%. And lastly, the saying there that tithing is burdensome for some and too easy for others, you know, because if you think about, let's say there's a family of five, husband and wife and three children, and they earn $70,000 a year and they tithe. So they've got 63. And then if we don't talk about taxes and things, but they need to get the family through the year on that. And then you've got a couple that doesn't have any children, and they earn $300,000 a year, and they tithe. So they've got $270,000 left. You know, so it should be quite easy for them if the family of five can manage. So, you know, it's tithing has... So my points there that I've made there is where I'm saying, yeah, you shouldn't tithe. But if there are so many reasons that I have to argue against tithing. What is God's standard then? What is God's, you know, I would call it giving under grace or giving in the New Testament. You know, I mean, what's the giving and tithing in the New Testament all about? Well, it's certainly not, and I want to start off what it's not. It's not random and irresponsible giving. You know, the giving that we, you know, if we say, no, we're not obliged to tithe, we can just, it shouldn't be random and irresponsible, because there are enough scriptures in the New Testament, and especially in Corinthians, where it says, you know, like Paul was saying to the Corinthians, on the first day of the week, each one should put aside a sum of money so that when he comes, that there is something, you know, for him as well. And I think one of the verses that I actually first wanted to preach about, but it's just part of this message now, is 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7. It says, each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Now, each of one should give what you have decided to give. It's not just, hit and miss giving. And it's also not based on feelings. You know, being under grace doesn't mean we just live by how we feel. You know, we are walking in the new, under grace, we walk by faith and in obedience to God's love. You know, it's not just how I feel. So it is certainly is not that. And also not less than the law requires. Why should it necessarily be less than the law requires? You know, God's grace, if I think of what Jesus said, you know, it was said you should not murder. But if you say to somebody, you're a fool, so it almost looks like, oh, this level is being raised. So if tithing was the law, is the level maybe been raised? You know, so it's not necessarily less than what the law requires. And then also, it shouldn't be something giving God the leftovers. You know, that after I've paid this and I've done that and got my new bicycle and, you know, and all of those things that, I've got a little bit left and that's it. So giving under grace is not something sloppy, irresponsible and haphazard whenever you feel like it. So what is it then? And this is what I just want to shortly go into and then conclude. But it's, and I've got 5 points here just quickly, and it's giving under grace is you look at God's example in Christ. You know, and it says, therefore, you know, in 2 Corinthians, in that where Paul speaks to the Corinthians about giving, he also says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, and we actually just sang about it, though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that through his poverty we might become rich. You know, so we look at God's example in Christ, and it's certainly, that is giving under grace. We aren't you glad that God just didn't give 10%? He gave all. You know, Christ didn't just give 10%. He gave everything. He gave his life. So, Jesus was in splendor in heaven, but he gave up everything so that we might be rich. Not in finances necessarily. I'm talking about if we might have, as we stand here this morning, that we might have his word, we might have the Holy Spirit, and we might be the temple of the Holy Spirit. Haven't we, you know, received so much? And we should look up at the cross, at the nail-pierced hands of the Lord Jesus, and say, you know, Lord, you gave it all for me. What can I give back to you? You know, it's almost like, Lord, you know, 10%? Yeah. You know, then it should give the correct concept of stewardship. You know, we are not our own. We've been bought with a big price. So we are the stewards, you know, of God's resources. And if we are a good manager, then we will use the resources in the right way to further his work. You know, and it's, as I said before, in the we often say the New Testament, the early church, what did they do? Yeah, we must be like the early church. Well, the early church, they sold everything they had so that nobody had a need. And so that they were all in one heart and mind, so nobody, claimed that any of the possessions were theirs. So I'm just putting that out there. We are, everything we have belongs to him, and we must, must daily give him thanks for what he's showered us. I mean, that word that we said, test me, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I won't open the floodgates of heaven. So it should also, thirdly, it should be an inner motivation, not an outward compulsion. You shouldn't ask the question, how much do I have to give? Maybe you should ask the question, how much can I give? Rather than how much, do I have to give? And like that verse that I read earlier, which said about, that each one should, in their own heart, go before the Lord and see what, and don't give with I have to give. Give it with joy, with a cheerful. And then, we have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, not an old, you're not under this old dispensation of the law. Now, if we say tithing is part of the law, okay, we've got a relationship with the Holy Spirit. We are led. The Scripture says, those who are being led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. So if we are led by the Spirit, then we're not under the law. But, if God wants us, it's kind of scary a bit, if God wants us to give more, are we being, will we listen to the Holy Spirit, or will we just say, oh, somewhere in the Old Testament it says 10%. And I'm not, and please also hear me, I want to this morning also just say, look at the grace that has been given to us when you look at your giving. Look at the grace that has been given to us by a loving God. It overwhelms us when we just think about it. And then, how much has God, just lastly, how much has God prospered you? How much should you give? It's like I had that example earlier with the one family, this and the bigger family that and so on. There's a lot that we can give. And if you look in the New Testament church, they gave according to their ability and sometimes beyond their ability. So should we not also, if the Holy Spirit presses upon us a need, sometimes give sacrificially? Look at how much God has prospered us. So there's always this, often I hear this catch, when I've got the job and I've earned a lot of money and I've put my house and I've got this car and I've got, then I will start tithing. But when you look, for instance, in Corinthians, the Macedonians, they had almost nothing, yet they gave because they saw the need, they saw the poverty that was there, and those that had, gave, those that God had given something, they actually were able to give, and they gave it sacrificially and gave it to beyond their ability almost. If you think about Jesus standing at the temple there and the poor widow put in the money, he wasn't so much impressed about the big money that was put in, but Jesus looked and said, she gave out of her poverty, they gave out of her of their abundance. Okay, let me end off, okay, and say, if you're a faithful manager of God's resources, then look at how you give. Is there an absolute freedom, cheerfulness in your heart when you give? Or is this just this tight thing in there, you know. We're not standing also as part of a shofar to put this guilt feeling on people. I think why we talk about it at times, because if you look in the New Testament, Jesus spoke a lot about money. You know, he says, I gave the parables. He gave five here and five there and one here. And he was very, very upset with them that just sat on it and didn't actually use it, the money that and the talents they were given. So it's something that, like the New Testament, the scripture says there in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7, you know, you must in your own heart. And if you are led by the Holy Spirit, then you should give joyfully, cheerfully, because God loves a cheerful giver. You know, I read a story about two farmers. They were not Christians, and they were walking there in England, and there was John Wesley was preaching there, and they stopped just to listen. And John Wesley had three points. The first point was, get all you can. Get all you can. And what the point he was making is that you should work hard so that you can, you know, get the income, get your cattle and all of that. He said, get all you can. And this one farmer, they bumped him. Oh, he says, this is good preaching. I've never heard something like this. You know, I do this. I try and get everything I can. And the second point was, save all you can. You know, so don't waste it in extravagant living and so on. And this farmer again bumped this guy and says, we need to come more. You know, this is what preaching is about. This is what I love, because this is exactly what I do. I save. I don't spend it on big cars and things like that. And then John Wesley came with the third point. He says, give all you can. And this guy said, oh, you spoiled a good sermon, you know. So I hope I haven't spoiled a good sermon. Well, a sermon. You know, God has given all. He hasn't given just 10%. He wants us to be cheerful, generous givers, you know, who are under grace. And so I just have, you know, the last thing that I put on there is, we should not tithe, because God wants us to give generously and cheerfully. And tithing is kind of the bare minimum almost. Tithing is a law. And so, you know, I don't know this morning whether, you know, some of you I don't even know, you know, how you stand before before Almighty God, and we're saying, you know, every day, the plants, the sun, the moon, the stars, when you just look at it, it's mind-blowing, you know, it is absolutely mind-blowing that an Almighty God like that should come and die for me and die for you, and that we can have life, that he should become poor so that we may have eternal life. And I think it's in that light we should look at this topic of tithing and see what he has given so that we can give generously and cheerfully. Let us pray. Yes, Lord, when we just look at the cross, we look at what the sacrifice that was paid. Father, we are just overwhelmed. Do we really know what you gave for us and who we are in Christ now, Lord, and who you are? Lord, everything almost fades into insignificance, Lord. We thank you that you have so blessed us, not only with spiritual blessings, but with material blessings, with so many things, Lord. We pray that our heart will not be longing after those things, but that our heart will yearn after the love of God, and that we will, Lord, to be more and more like you. Father, thank you that we can come this morning into this place and know that you are present with us. And we thank you for that, Lord. And I just want to, Lord, thank you for these people. And I want to pray, Lord, your anointing upon these people, Lord. Father, lead them and guide them as they take your word out to this capital of ours, dear Lord, that the word of God can reach people, Lord, and people can be saved, Lord, and come to your throne, Lord. Thank you for this day, and in Jesus' name, amen. If there's anyone that wants to pray about this particular topic, or about how is my relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Am I being led by the Holy Spirit? Please come and pray with me, with the leaders here. And thank you for having me. Thank you.